Welcome, citizens. You're listening to New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Here, thinkers and doers always have a key to the city. The mayor is in, so office hours start now.
Oh, New Amsterdam Radio starts now. What's going on, citizens? Flobo Boys, the mayor, in the mayor's office on a very oddly cool morning. It's been kind of warm here in Los Angeles, which is kind of the real world spot of where New Amsterdam Radio is this week. But this morning has been pretty breezy. Went out for a run. I feel rejuvenated. I feel like a brand new man, a brand new sore man. Ugh, I don't know how I'm doing this, but thank you so much for rocking with me. We have a fantastic interview with Brooke M. Dukes after the jump. Before we get into that, some housekeeping. NewAmsterdam.com, KNEWAmsterdam.com is a website to really see all the other shows underneath the New Amsterdam Entertainment banner, and at New Amsterdam on Instagram and on that Threads. I'm not sure what's going on with the Twitter wars, but currently New Amsterdam Radio is also at Twitter at New_Amsterdam, and also trying to get it on more platforms because it seems to be an odd time for social media. But that said, thank you so much for checking out the show, because I know you have so many other podcasts available in your podcasting diet or portfolio. And so the fact that you're hanging out with us means the world to me. Now, as you may have noticed, I've been leaning into the baseball thing this season. I've been doing baseball content over my YouTube page at youtube.com/footballboys, and had the pleasure of taking my buddy James Lott Jr. to a Dodger game this week. If you guys don't know, James Lott Jr. appeared in episodes 50, 80, and 162 of New Amsterdam Radio. Lives about 3 miles from my house, so it was always good to have him on the show. And he had given up on baseball, so it was boring. I said, no, it's different. It's funny now. You got to make sure you come out there. And so I took him to a Dodger game, and we used SeatGeek, baby. SeatGeek is the best way to get the best tickets and the best seats in the house for anything when it comes down to sports, when it comes down to concerts and more. Use promo code FLOBITO, that's FLOBITO, for $20 off your first order. In fact, that's what I use. Got the discount. It was nice. FLOBITO comes through, came through for me. And I'm FLOBITO. Promo code FLOBITO over at SeatGeek to get the best tickets in the house. And, I'm not sure if he's going to be a fan for life, but he likes to drink. And so that's why we enjoyed ourselves. Brooke M. Dukes is a fantastic individual. She has a book coming out called Is This All There Is, about what it means to shift focus in your career in life once you reach a certain age, and both. And so being able to chat with her and experience and how she was able to do that while being a mom and while being a wife and business professional has been kind of fun. So you're going to enjoy it too. Brooke M. Dukes right now on New Amsterdam Radio. Welcome, citizens, to another edition of New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for thinkers, doers, and creatives. Well, my guest is a thinker, doer, and a creative all rolled into one. I gets lucky like that. Hello, boys, is being joined by Brooke M. Dukes. How's it going, Brooke? How's life?
Great. Thanks for having me.
Oh, yeah. We were just talking about this before you went live. You are based in Texas. Is that a final city for you? Or are you transitioning? Are you born and raised there? What's your relationship with the Lone Star State?
We just moved to Austin, Texas, March of 2020, 3 days before the pandemic.
Wow.
So, yeah, this there's never a final destination, but it's for a while destination.
Yeah. People say keep Austin weird, but nothing weirder than a pandemic. That's that's for dang sure. So I was looking a bit to your backstory, because not only you're an author and you're a coach, you're also an entrepreneur yourself. But the question I like to ask creatives is that when you're at a party and someone goes, "Hey, what do you do?" How do you phrase all the main disciplines that you excel at?
Really, I work primarily with female executives, entrepreneurs, and small and mid-sized businesses. So that's in a nutshell. I do anything from the women's side of things. It's burnout, it's overwhelm, it's imposter syndrome. It's, you know, how do I navigate into that C-suite, or how do I start my own business? Because I've been in corporate and I'm unfulfilled and I want to do something new, but I have no idea how to step into that arena.
I swear to you, I'm not coming from a weird angle. I'm genuinely curious because I'm a guy, and right, I can always sympathize and empathize within the whole strife of what it makes to be a woman in corporate America. What is the added difficulty, and what causes that kind of environment for female executives who may be as talented as their male counterparts to really say, "Look, I can do this. I can for the next chapter. I can jump off and do something I want to do."
Well, some of the things that hold women back, one are themselves, right? It's really looking at a lot of times, and I was this woman, mm-hmm. where I thought in order to make it in corporate and to climb the ladder that I had to act like a man. And I squashed that intuition. And some of the things that make female leaders so unique and so powerful in their own right, you know, and if you look at it, and I use this analogy, there's a job posting. Mm-hmm. A man will look at a job posting and say, "Man, I got about 25% of what they're asking for. I got this. I'm applying." Right? Yeah. A woman will look at the same job posting. Like 70-80%. I'm not sure. What do you think? Right?
Right.
And it's a difference in the way that we look at things. We're raised to be humble. We're raised not to toot our own horn, right? Not to give ourselves accolades. So we don't promote ourselves. A lot of times we don't use our voice to tell people, you know what? I am valuable and this is what I deserve. This is what I know I can add. These are the things that I've accomplished. And then lastly, and there's many more, but women don't necessarily support other women. That was one of the reasons why I decided to exclusively in my group and one-on-one coaching, you know, excluding the business side of it, I only work with women. Because you typically, I know when I was in that place, it was very lonely. I didn't have anyone to talk to. I had surpassed the success of people in my circle. The women that I had worked with were ambivalent towards me at best, sometimes just flat out aggressive. Right? We don't tend to mentor each other or sponsor each other. And it's sad. We've got to do that. We have to start sharing our stories. We're so used to pretending like everything's perfect, from motherhood to career to, you know, being a partner and a spouse and all of that, that we forget just to be real. We're all facing the same things. Being a woman, being a human in this day and age is tough. And we need to say that, right? We're not unique. It doesn't make us weak. It makes us stronger to be able to speak to what we're going through in that time. And it helps other people.
You know, not to make it a political thing necessarily, but I thought it was fascinating that our last president of the United States, Donald Trump, didn't have any political experience at all and decided to go for one of the biggest political jobs on the planet. And I thought that was interesting. And I always wondered if Trump were a black man or a woman, would we have that same kind of reliance on self to even try that? But let me ask you a question about the experiences with some of your clients. You know, I like to think that we are all unique on some level, and I bet if someone's coming to you asking for things about how to negotiate or how to jump to the next chapter, a lot of times you can kind of bog down by your own personal circumstance. Oh, you can do it, but I have kids, or I have this responsibility, or I have this. Is there a balance between being cognizant of your client's needs and making it class specific and cutting through that and going, yes, you have difficulties, but here's what you do if you want to excel?
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, one of the first things that we do is really look at, because most of the people that come to me, they've already hit a particular level of success, so they've tried different things, right? And so really looking at, what is it that lights you up? Like, what do you love to do? And digging into that. And then looking at what experience you have so far, right? How do we mesh that? How do we package that? And then, is it something that the world needs and that the world will pay for? Because you have to look at it from that. We all know none of us want to live in a cardboard box. We have to make a living. So we have to be realistic in it as well. You know, if someone is 45 years old and they want their passions to be a prima ballerina, we probably need to tweak that a bit, right? So really looking at that and then looking at the mindset of it, right? What do you believe? What do you believe about yourself? What do you believe in what you want to do? What do you value in life? most, you know, many people find themselves looking at my actions do not align with what I value in life. So many people go by that old adage, you work hard and you sacrifice now and that pot of gold will be at the end. Instead of the reality of it is, success does not create happiness. Happiness creates more success. They've done so many studies on how happy people are more productive than unhappy people, mm-hmm. right? So really looking at the various things, are you living your value? Are you living your purpose? For me, that would be the goal of anyone that I help, helping them to find their genius and their purpose and what lights them up. If everyone did that, the world would be an amazing place because we'd all be so happy.
Sure. Yeah, like you said yourself, nobody wants to live in a cardboard box. I mean, the price of cardboard is through the roof. Question though, when what was the moment for you though when you decided, hey, look, I have this knowledge, I have this perspective, let me share it with others? I mean, you could have kept that to yourself. You could have just been using the secret sauce all the way to Graceland, but you decided to build a platform for other people to get on. What was that actual moment like for you?
So I, 20 years ago, I'm aging myself, but I found myself on a corporate jet and free term labor. I was 8 months pregnant and I was going to Nova Scotia. I was actually on my way back. My boss at the time had said, go meet with the client or you'll lose the bonus. And it was a six-figure bonus. And I went to preterm labor. My child was fine and it ended up being great. However, it was a huge wake-up call for me because I recognized I'd risked my child's life for money. And there was no way I could justify that. And so I really looked at exactly what I talked about. What am I passionate about? What do I value? All of those things. And I realized that I don't have anyone to talk to. I had no one to help me. And so once I had gone through my journey, you know, owning my own business, selling my own business, partnering with a consulting firm and helping them to build the business, I looked at it and I said, okay, I know I have enough knowledge, right? I have over 40,000 hours in psychology, behavioral science, human transformation. It's time to give back because I know there are so many other people, not just women, but people out there that experience exactly what I did. They wake up and they're like, I thought I would be so much happier. I thought I would, once I hit this level of success or once I graduated college or once I, whatever that is, I thought I would feel different and I don't. But I had no idea what to do about it. So, you know, and I wanted to help people that were going through the same journey that I went through to just share my experience with them so they didn't feel so alone. So they didn't have to go through it. Everything wasn't roses and really easy for me. I had times and challenges as well. So sharing that, so I'm not going to take anyone's growth away. We need those challenges to become someone who can achieve our goals. And if there's an easier way, I would love to give it to someone.
Wow, that story took me on a ride because I was like, oh man, Nova Scotia, that must be cool. But that was obviously one of those darkest times of your life to choose your next chapter. And I ultimately, given what you said, you made the right decision. But there is an element of fear. And I don't want to make it like an all-life situation, but there is a fear about working too hard, especially here in the United States, where we say, hey, look, are you hustling? Are you grinding? Are you doing things? He's ambitious and things like that. But I do feel, and I want your perspective on this, that sometimes we are almost pressured to even say stop down. We're pressured to say, I need a break. We're pressured to take vacation. I think one of the death knells for any job when I apply for something, when they say unlimited PTO, because I feel like it usually comes with an environment where you get looked sideways if you take that PTO. What happened? You know?
Yeah, I mean, I think that that's, you know, the American way, no pain, no gain. You got to grind, you know, like you said. I mean, that's in... What I find is with that mindset, a lot of times we downplay our natural abilities because they came to us easily. We were maybe born with some of these skills. And so we really don't appreciate them as much. And we may, you know, buy into that mindset of if I'm not working hard, if it's not difficult, then it's not worth it, or I'm not doing enough. And it's not about hard work. It's about right thinking. Truly, if you take care of yourself, if you have self-care, if you're eating right, if you're exercising, if you're meditating, right? If you're taking care of your mind, you are more productive. You can do more in less time. It's when we allow ourselves to get run down because we're trying to be everything to everyone all the time and not to ourselves that we can't give the same value. We're less productive and we're not, typically that's when you make bad decisions, right? Because you're not in state, you're burnt out, you're overwhelmed, right? And you're making decisions from a state of pattern. You know, Harvard did a study in 2012. We're on automatic pilot 50% of the time, right? Oh, wow. Brain likes, it takes the path of least resistance. It wants to, whenever it feels you're stressed out, you're angry, you know, emotions, it wants to go down a path that's already traveled, right? That's where those patterns come in. And we become reactive and we get on automatic pilot. And we make decisions that if we were in state, we wouldn't make. And so really helping people to understand it is the best thing you can do for you, your work, your family, your children, to take care of yourself. You know, we've all seen that on the airplane. Put your air mask on first before you put it on someone else, because if you pass out, you can't help them. It's right. The same analogy. You've got to be you want to be that role model for your family, for your children. Right, showing them that taking care of yourself and being in state and offering value is a beautiful place to be. And so many times people just, they wear the stressed out, I'm so busy as a badge of honor and how important they are.
Right.
It's not really the case. Right?
Yeah, nobody wants that of the epitaph. They were so busy, right? Obviously, answer this question as open as you can. I know there's some proprietary issues there, but like, what does working with you look like for a client? Is it kind of like a consultation? Is it a worksheet? Is it kind of checking in? Is it activities? Is it drills? When someone decides to work with you, what's the plan laid out for them?
So the first thing, we do a discovery call. So to see if it's a fit, right? I take on very few one-to-one clients. It's taxing, right? And I want to help as many people as possible. We have a mastermind community that is open for everyone, but we protect that community also. So we do a discovery call to make sure that it's a fit on both sides. If it's an organization, it's again, you know, what are the challenges? Is it something, you know, I work in leadership, executive presence, sales, communication, influence. In those areas, is it something that is the challenge, something I can help them with? Once they become a member, then, you know, if you're doing it on the group or the one-to-one coaching side, there are surveys so that we can get an understanding of where you're at, what feeling, the mindset, how best to communicate with you, all of that, right? It's the same type of thing for a business, but it's more of a conversation to really look at and dive in deeper. It's kind of like recon. Find out what's really happening and, you know, what's the best way to attack the situation.
Yeah. And is there a certain kind of client that you prefer, or is it kind of like, I want to evaluate anyone, any segment, and then see if you're a good fit? Like, what's the target, I guess?
I only coach women, one-to-one or group. On the company side, it's small to mid-sized businesses. In the consulting firm that I was in, I've worked with, you know, $5 billion organizations. What I find for me, the sweet spot is small to mid-size, you know, entrepreneurs, you know, things that about $1 million in revenue up to about $200-300 million.
Okay. Cause I was wondering that, because the one thing I realized post pandemic is that everyone has a very loose definition of what's small. You know what I mean? Like, I'm a small business. But yeah, so I'm glad that you have that niche, and that's something that you work into your wheelhouse as well. What have some of your clients have been saying? Like, what about your approach that sets you apart from other competition in your space?
I really focus on the mind, the foundational pieces of it, whether it's a business or an individual. So I'm not the one that you want to come to for strategy. Yes, I can do it, but that's down the road, because if your mindset isn't right, if your beliefs aren't, your values, your behaviors, your rules aren't aligned with the vision that you want to work towards, you can have the best strategy ever and you're going to sabotage it because you don't believe in it, right? Our mind always tries to prove us right. So you've really got to look at from a foundational perspective when you're looking at, you know, if someone comes with a challenge for me, then I always want to look at, okay, what's underneath that? So that is a big differentiator. A lot of times clients would come and, oh my gosh, your sales are down. Just tell me, you know, what sales strategy should I use? Well, that's not, that's, you can Google that, like save your money, right?
Yeah.
Let's really look at what's underlying that. Let's talk to your salespeople. Let's see, you know, what's happening. Let me see what you're doing right now. How are you rewarding, recognizing them? What, you know, all of those little intricacies first. And then, yeah, we'll get to strategy. I can do strategy all day long, but right. It's not in the first step.
Absolutely. It's kind of like, make me rich. Do it.
Exactly. I want the magic pill. Hey.
So we're talking about this before we went live. Super excited. October, the book launch is on the horizon. This is all there is. Now, deciding to go into book form is one question I have, but the more important question I have is, who do you expect is going to take the most from what you have planned on this release?
I think anyone that's at a crossroads, whatever phase of their life they're in, right? And really looking at, what do I do? Like, how do I create the life that I want to live? Because that's the thing. You can live whatever type of life you want. Mm-hmm. We have unlimited capabilities. Our brains are unlimited, right? It's just understanding how your mind works and then utilizing that, giving it a target to move towards. So in answer to that, just anyone that wants to create something different in their life.
It'll be available Amazon, Barnes & Noble, where books are sold.
Exactly. Yes.
Oh, fantastic. Because it's good to have many different storefronts for it. That way, there's no excuses. So make sure you check it out when it's coming out in October. Here at New Amsterdam Radio, chatting with the prolific Brooke M. Duke. So glad you're on the show with me today because, you know, your expertise is something that's very valuable for those who may be contemplating the next stage of their entrepreneurial careers. But if you'll allow me, I'll have to ask you some personal questions. Is that okay?
It is.
All right, so we ask everyone on the show the most important, toughest question all day, and that is, what is your favorite junk food?
My favorite junk food? Oh, gosh.
Real serious question.
Pizza.
What's your topping? Topping of choice.
I like pepperoni, mushroom, and onion.
Classic. That's right. Let's go. I love it. What would you say you're most happiest? When are you most happy?
When am I most happy? I would say I love the water. So being on the water, I love being in nature. I like hiking. I love in Austin, we have so many places to hike. It's not Colorado and we have great places to hike. So when I'm in nature with people that I'm connected with, and just having great conversations, I am the most happiest and relaxed.
It's funny you mentioned Colorado. I read a couple of years ago that Colorado is like the fittest state in the nation. Like it has the lowest rate of obesity because everyone has skis or a mountain bike or they do something active. It's like it's a Montgomery Ward catalog over there. Shout out to REI. Do you believe in days off? And if so, what do you do with those?
Yes, I absolutely believe in days off. I think it's a must. I do self-care, right? So it could be on, especially if I'm taking it during the week, it could be that I am doing research, right? I am reading, I'm meditating, I'm getting a massage, something like that. If it's on the weekend, I'm with my family and friends.
Favorite kind of massage? Swedish, sports, deep tissue?
Deep tissue.
Oh, I can't. I am not built for this, Brooke.
Oh, come on. Oh, they're the best.
I thought you said you're from Brooklyn. Heck yeah, I am, but the massage hurts too much. What's one thing as a business owner you know now that you wish you knew back then?
That you don't have to grind and kill yourself to be successful because you will find yourself at the end probably in a place that you don't want to be. You've created something out of stress and anxiety and angst. It's never a good thing at the end of it. Really enjoying the journey and being happy while you're creating, especially for the entrepreneurs out there. Don't create your business out of scarcity. It's not going to be what you want it to be at the end of it. Make sure that you really in state when you make decisions and you are taking time off and you're doing self-care. It's so very important so that at the end of it, you can look around and say, yeah, this is the life I want to lead. And as you're creating it, don't create it in a lifestyle that you don't want to live. If it takes 7 days a week, 15-hour days, and that's not the life you want to live, then don't create it that way. If you want to work 4 days a week, that's the trap that entrepreneurs get into. Oh, I'm going to kill myself now and it's going to be easy later. No, it's not. Right? You need to look at ways to scale and to delegate and to create it from the beginning the way that you want it to be.
I got one more for you. Do you believe that you are self-made? Why or why not?
No, I'm not self-made. I have had so many mentors and amazing people around me. Now, I've had to do the work. Absolutely. I believe, even when I coach people, I'm not doing it. They are. But I'm giving the information. And my mentors gave me the information. It was up to me to then act upon it. But I am absolutely not self-made.
Yeah, there's no wrong answer for that one, but it's always cool to see how the interpretations for both of those. And I respect that your candor there. Brooke, fantastic that you're able to come to the show and share your insight. Now's the fun part. If someone's listening right now and they want to connect with you, learn more about your projects, what you have going on, how they go about doing that.
My website is brookmdukes.com. I am Brooke Dukes on all social media platforms, so it's pretty easy.
And make sure you check that out. Is This All There Is coming out in October 2023. Tell them Flobito sent you. This is New Amsterdam Radio, the podcast for creatives. Thanks for being on.
Thank you.
Thanks so much for listening to New Amsterdam Radio. Learn more about the show at newamsterdam.com. That's KNEW Amsterdam.com. Until next time, this city is yours.